For some jobs in the U.S., having a shaky credit report can stand in the way of getting hired. This is also true in China, and wait until you hear the odd things that can ding your credit there. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The White House will release its 2019 budget proposal today. The plan calls for more than $4 trillion in spending, including $200 billion in funding for infrastructure. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has some early details.
There's more money in there for defense spending. There's also more money for veterans health care, $85 billion, and for opioid addiction treatment and prevention, $17 billion. And of course, there's money for immigration enforcement, $23 billion. That would pay for more immigration officers and for half of a border wall. And, you know, this is a lot of spending, but the budget office says the plan would actually lower the federal deficit by $3 trillion over a decade. It does that by cutting funding at other agencies like the State Department and the Environmental Protection Agency. By the way, that estimate assumes the U.S. economy will grow at a rate of 3% over a decade. It grew at about 2.5% last year.
I feel the need for a civics lesson here, Mariel. So this Trump budget today, set in stone?
Yeah, no. The White House releases a budget plan every year, but Congress does too, and it's lawmakers who actually write the budget bills that become law. They tend to ignore the president's budget.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you. Now, there's more to life in the economy than the stock market, but many are wondering how markets are starting out the week after the return of volatility this month. The swings are still here, and this morning they happen to be up. About 20 minutes into the trading day, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 264 points, 1.1%. Similar percentage rises for the S&P and the NASDAQ. London is up 1.4%. Volatility is not just a euphemism for down. It can mean zagging upward as well, like we're seeing today. Here's economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York.
Volatility means it goes up and down a lot. That's a measure of the riskiness in the market, which is coming back after a period of no risk at all being priced in.
Some of this is just the psychology of the moment, but some of it is built on a foundation of worried about higher interest rates ahead, U.S., Europe, and beyond. We have a reading on inflation, I think, midweek, right?
That's right. Actually, it should potentially provide a little bit of a calming influence. Headline inflation is set to come down a little bit. And we've seen volatility in oil prices as well. They went up a lot, and that created a bit of an inflation scare. And then that created worries that it would hurt the economy, and oil prices have now come back down. So at the end of the day, I don't think we're entering a highly inflationary environment.
So when the consumer price index for January comes out midweek, you thinking it'll be as high as 2% looking at the core rate? Because that's where the Fed gets especially concerned.
The core rate will probably moderate a little bit and stay below 2%. So again, wage growth has picked up a little bit, inflation's picked up a little bit, but these are very gradual trends rather than spiking inflation. That doesn't mean that the Fed isn't going to still continue taking the punch bowl away. So we could still see higher interest rates even if inflation doesn't pick up.
All right. Julia Coronado, who's been really helping us during these turbulent times. She's at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Crude oil is up 1.9% now after OPEC said demand for crude worldwide is on the rise. It's now above $60 a barrel in New York, this after a slump in prices last week. There's a province in eastern China which recently passed regulations that could make it harder to get a bank loan or get into a good school if you don't sort your trash into the appropriate bins. They're doing this in Zhejiang province. It's part of a system of social credit in China that punishes people who engage in behavior deemed antisocial, such as dodging train fares. These infractions will be recorded on your credit file. Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak reports from Shanghai.
Last year, tour guide Wang Yao was taking a busload of people around Beijing when they got into an argument. He was caught on video cursing at his guests. The local tourism authority fined him $1,500, revoked his tour license, and if you go online, he's listed on the National Tourism Board's website for uncivilized behavior. This blacklist and others like it are the initial stages of China's social credit system. You can also be blacklisted if you refuse a court order to repay debt, like Xie Wen. His advertising company was sued in a contract dispute and lost. A judge ordered him to pay $127,000. He didn't. So the judge put him on a blacklist of deadbeats, one companies are encouraged to check before entering deals.
It hurt my business. I couldn't get a loan. I was banned from taking airplanes.
At the same time, dozens of cities are also testing their own social credit systems. Some of them record behaviors like jaywalking or not sorting out garbage. Credit expert Hu Naihong.
Some people say this is going beyond credit information, but I think assessing one's creditworthiness should also include morality and ethics.
She says the bad behaviors should be expunged from records after a few years. But what if someone wants to dispute the information? In Xie Wen's case, he didn't have time.
No one notified me that I was on the blacklist. Then court officials detained me, so I had to pay the fine.
He's now off the blacklist, but says some of his clients abandoned him. For serious debt offenders, some cities try to force people to pay up by replacing their ringtones so that anyone who calls them will hear.
The person you're calling has been listed as a discredited person by the local court.
It might be harder to bounce back from this kind of public shame. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Wow. And the personal products giant Unilever today is expected to warn Google, Facebook, and the digital rest that it could pull its ads off of new media platforms if they don't clean out the poisonous content. Unilever is the second biggest advertiser on Earth. Its chief marketing officer has a speech set for California today in which he's expected to threaten taking the ads away if social media companies don't deal with the hate, the harm to children, and the propaganda. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.